Good morning, teaching everyone. You can tell I'm all excited, so pray for me. Usually when I'm all excited, I don't take time to thoroughly explain some of my thoughts and many of the things that I'm thinking don't come out and make much sense the way they could at times, so pray for me in that way this morning. I'm not sure if any of you have ever experienced getting ready to share and having the brothers that come up before you come up and just start laying a foundation for what you're going to share. But that's happened here this morning. Brother Mose mentioned about being willing to be servants of all. Brother Paul actually read some of the same scriptures I have. And he built an amazing foundation here. And I was just thinking, you know, what happens a lot of times in a lot of people's life is these two are the foundation. And then on that foundation that's really tippy, they start trying to build the rest of what's there, and it never works. It's the whole thing is just constantly very, very unstable. So I just really, really appreciate the picture here. Appreciate what he shared. The scriptures he's used. And I'd like to just, I think it'd be good if we just stand. Somehow, I want to keep my peace, and let's just pray. Father, my heart is just overflowed with joy. We just delight. We are in awe. We feel, Father, like we've never experienced anything like you. We're just overcome with joy this morning as we consider you. Thank you for being here and speaking to us, and thank you for caring. Thank you for showering each one of us with your benevolent love. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today. Thank you for helping me, Father. Please continue to help me give a clear teaching here that will help all of us get through this life in a more successful way. Thank you, Father. We know this is your heart, and we know that you have bestowed much good upon us, and there's much grace and strength you have yet to help us. So thank you. We can continue to praise you and worship you. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, I'd like to preach a message titled, Wasted Opportunities. And the tragedy with wasted opportunities is that most times what we could have gained from those opportunities, even if the opportunity comes back around, we still lose the gain we could have had we captured that opportunity before. So the tragedy of wasted opportunity is that we will never be able to capitalize to the full extent what we could have had we taken those opportunities when they were first present. Now, this morning, what I have to say is based on a parable in God's Word that Jesus himself gave as a teaching. And it's not going to sound real spiritual, but I would like to lay the foundation of John the Baptist's message. He came and his message was a message that had never been preached before. And it was a simple one. And it said, the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven is here now. For thousands of years before that, that wasn't so. God dwelt in the midst of his people, but it was in a tabernacle and it was just different. John's message was the beginning of something completely different. And I just want to say that that kingdom is still, we can still preach that same message with the same clarity that John did. The kingdom of heaven is here now. And there's only one. There's only one way into that kingdom. And I want that to be clear today as a foundation to help you understand, or so someone doesn't misunderstand as we get on into some of these other things today. But there's only one way into that kingdom, and that's by being born into it. There is no way that there can be enough good done. There is no way that you can be good enough. There's no way that you can be humble enough. There's no way. There is no way you can do enough work. There is no other way into that kingdom. And I just want that to be really clear this morning as we go further into the message here this morning. What the Bible does teach is after we are born into that kingdom, there's a lot of verses that talk about works. Faith that works by love. In Galatians, James talks about faith. Faith and works. And the Bible never contradicts itself. It's from a deep love for God that we serve God and that we work for God. This morning I'd like to read a passage of Scripture to you. And this is again just a bit of Scripture here to continue to lay a foundation. It's in John chapter 6, verse 63. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I just want to share this Scripture here. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's saying this. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, we've had many theologians, we have even many people in our day that are taking God's word and they're spiritualizing the practicality of God's word away. And I just like to, these words just bless me. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, we could say they're spiritual. Now, turning the other cheek, that doesn't sound real spiritual, does it? Taking up a cross and mortifying the deeds of our flesh by the power of God and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ's death, that doesn't always sound real spiritual. Loving our enemy, what's spiritual about loving our enemy? It is, though. It's those practical things that are spiritual as well. I had to think of love not the world, neither the things in the world. That doesn't sound real spiritual, but it is. Now, if you have your Bibles, let us get into the heart here of God's burden on our heart today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. And I really would have liked to start at the beginning and comment some on the first part of it. But we're going to break in at verse 14. And we're going to read to verse 30. And it's called the parable of the talents many times it's referred to. I'm just going to start reading here. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants. And notice here what they're called. I believe he's talking about the kingdom of heaven here. And they're in the kingdom. These men, I want you to note that. All three of these men that we're going to read about, they're not trying to get in the kingdom. They are. And the things that we're going to read are expectations that these men had being in the kingdom. Who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. I'm not sure why. It never stuck out to me before. And maybe we'll talk a bit more of this later if it comes to my mind. But I knew that the servant with 1 didn't really do anything with the talent. But somehow I never thought about the fact that it seems like he took special care to make sure that no one knew that he had the talent. He kept it hid and he quick went and he got a shovel or digged a hole. I'm not sure what he did. It says he digged, I guess. What does it say here? I was so concentrating on the word hid. Let me remember what it does say. It says he went and digged in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and he reckoneth with them. He said, hey, I gave you these talents. Where are they? What have you done with them? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. Listen to what he says. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now it's easy for us, without saying it, have the attitude in our heart. Yeah, he was given 5. He was given way more than we have. He was given a lot. He should have been able to make a lot with what he was given. It's easy for us to have that attitude in our heart and not realize that it's there. But may God help us. What we all want to hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But this parable is specific. It is very specific and it's very practical. And it's teaching us that we have things that God gives us and God expects us to use those things to have increase and increase for him in his kingdom. And I know that this should have been probably 6 different messages when you break down the talents and all of these things. But I had such a burden to just share what I have today that I'm trying to do it all in one message here, and I'm not going to cover near all the things that should be explained. We should talk about what the talents are more than I am going to today, just to throw that out in case I forget. But let's continue to read here. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Notice, it didn't matter that the one that had 5 gained another 5. He had more and he gained more. The one with 2, the one that had 5 and gained 5 didn't get a greater reward than the one that had 2 and gained 2. The thing I want you to think about is, what if we have 5 and we only gain 4? Is there room in this parable for that? Is there room in God's kingdom for someone that he has the 5 talents, but he doesn't use them as well as he could? And he does gain some, but he doesn't end up with 5 more. I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question, but it gives me a lot to think about. I'm not sure if there's really room to not do everything we can, brothers and sisters, with the talents that God gives us. I don't know that I find that room here in this parable to be able to do that. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, thou art a hard man, reaping, taking things where thou hast not sown, things that weren't rightfully yours, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Oh, my Lord. Do any of us have any of those attitudes in our heart about God? We wouldn't say it. Do we look at God? How do we look at God? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money. Okay, his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and thou knewest that I gather where I have not strawed. Thou shouldest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Brothers and sisters, Think about that principle. It encourages me. He says, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, the powerful message this last verse has to the once saved, always saved gospel. The gospel of ease. The gospel of it's all been paid. The gospel that we are influenced with every day. This last scripture will condemn them. The last scripture condemns that gospel to the fullest. This was a servant. He was in God's kingdom. And the teaching that says that once you have salvation, you can never lose it. This last scripture condemns that to the fullest. This was a servant in the kingdom of God. And he was disobedient. He was slothful. And the Lord called him wicked. And he said, "Throw him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, I'm not sure what you take out of this parable, but I've tried to just take the simple message that it has, and I'd like to talk about it a little bit today for my own life. I can't find this parable teaching anything other than that we are to be actively engaged in serving God and working for God, if I can use that word. Its emphasis, its clear message is that there's three men, and two of them worked for God and served Him, and one would not. And it gives us a clear message what the reward for all three were. It's clear. In this story of the talent, the slothful servant failed. He thought his part was too hard. You know, I'm not sure, but it started long before. Here's a little talent. A talent that's about as pure as silver as you can buy. But what happened started quite a while before he got the shovel out, I'm afraid. I think there was a process in his mind. He thought about some of the commandments, some of the things that God asked him to do. God, if thy brother, God said, if my brother offend thee, go and tell thy brother. That's hard to do. It's much easier for me when a brother comes to me and says, "Brother, how about this and this?" But for me to go to another brother, but brothers and sisters, God asks that of us. He really does. But long before he got the shovel out, there was commandments. There was thinking and reasoning about God. And he made a choice. And that's when the shovel came out and he dug a hole. And he buried his talent. And he decided. But I want us to think about some of the things that this wicked servant thought, his mindset. He was deceived. The way he looked at God and God's word was false. He was deceived. I talked about him quickly. It doesn't say the word quickly, but he got a shovel and he didn't want anybody to know that he had the talent, it seemed like. So he dug and it was out of sight and out of mind. Here's a picture that I have taped on the front of the pulpit here of a man with a shovel and he's got a hole dug there and there's a talent in the bottom of the hole and he's getting ready to cover it up and you can't see it all from there. But it speaks to me, brothers and sisters. I don't believe there's any one of us that doesn't have one talent. What are we doing with that talent? You can see the shovel that I have up here in front of the pulpit. I'm afraid it's a picture of the shovel that's been used through the years and through the ages by God's people. I'm afraid the handle's broke. I'm afraid it's been used too much. It's been abused. There's been too many holes dug. And there's been far too many talents that have been buried. That God gives His people. I believe this parable here, the man that gave the goods is God. After making the necessary arrangements in this parable, which is God, he departed and left men with their own free will and their own free choice to do whatever they wanted with the talents that he gave them. Two of his servants were successful, each of them doubling what had been given them. But the third didn't even attempt to use his talent. The message clearly teaches us the duty we have to work while we have the opportunity. Brothers and sisters, it's way too easy for us to have the attitude in our heart, well, if we miss this one this time, it'll come back if it's God's will. And you know, God is able to do that, but I do want you to think about the increase that you could have had by taking the opportunity the first time that you will never have the opportunity to gain that increase again. It's far too easy to have that attitude in our heart and not realize. We need to work while we have the opportunity. Eternity draws nigh. We're not promised tomorrow. The night cometh. Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. So hence, the burden of our heart today, wasted opportunities. Wasted opportunities. Opportunities that are gone forever. Opportunities that you will never have the opportunity to capitalize on again. They're gone. May we be far more concerned about increase in our spiritual lives. May we be sure with God's help that we can at least double the talents that our master has given. And I know that we have an enemy that hinders us. I know he whispers in our ear. I know that there's times that he convinces us we don't need to do what we all know God wants us to do. I'm not going to get real specific here. But I think that we all know what God's will is for our life. It's a walk of faith, and there's little things that God wants us to be faithful in. May we be more concerned about increase and using our talents and gifts in our spiritual lives. We receive from God in order to serve God, to give back to God. It is for our good and for His glory. The specific meaning of the talents may refer to spiritual gifts. But even the sisters here, we have families. We have responsibilities. And I think that all plays into God's will for all of our lives. There's the lost, there's the hungry, there's a lot that all of us have in God's kingdom. The number of talents given in each case corresponded to the master's judgment. It was God that decided. It corresponded to the master's judgment of each man's capacity. It's God that decides how many gifts we have. But what's exciting is, I believe that if we have one, we can gain two. And I believe that once we have two, we can gain four. I believe there's a principle of multiplication in God's kingdom that is absolutely exciting. And I pray that somehow God will give us some insight and inspire us and encourage us in that way today. In a sense, we all receive the same, for we receive according to our ability. I don't think that any of us have an excuse. I think there's a good chance that that wicked servant that this parable talks about, he probably looked over at the one that had five talents and he said, "There's no use. I can't do it." But everyone have this. They were given the talents according to their abilities, so every one of them could have been just as effective as the other. So the man with one servant could have done just as well. The servant with one. I'm talking too fast here. The servant with one talent had the opportunity to do just as good as the one with five. But it's easy for us, brothers and sisters, and I want us all to check our hearts. It's easy for us to look over and see gifts that other brothers have, decide there's no use. There's no use. So we don't realize it, but we got the shovel out and we dug a hole and we did it all without realizing that we did it. We all receive the same. In a sense, we all receive the same, for we receive according to our abilities, and it's God that decides that. And there's no use for us to take any time to decide whether I have as many as I should have or whether I don't have enough. We need to focus on what we have and use it for the glory and kingdom of God to the best that we can. I have to think quite a bit of the parable that is before this on the virgins. It's interesting as we think and compare this parable on the talents with the one of the virgins. Five of the virgins failed. And what they did wrong was they thought their part was easy. They thought there was nothing they had to do. They didn't realize that their lamps had to be filled with oil. They were deceived. They thought it's all been done. It's all been paid. So they sat there and lost the opportune time to gather oil for their lamps. So they had, when the time would come that they need, and they lost that opportunity. I believe that's the message of that parable, is they thought it was too easy and they failed to prepare. Well, the message, that's the message that we're bombarded with daily, brothers and sisters. That's why, that's some of my burden here. It is a powerful message for us today. Even the one of the virgins, they sat there and they thought their part was done. It's easy. God's done it all. And that's true. God's done things we can't. But if we're faithful servants, we're going to be actively serving and working for God and His kingdom. If I can use those words without being carried out of here and named a heretic and a legalist by God's grace. But they took the easy road. They failed to prepare. The virgins did. Doing nothing, and it's amazing. You talk to people in our day and you ask them, how do you stand before God? Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm a Christian. There's some accounts I could share. And you all know what I'm saying. I think we'll just keep going here. When the master returned, there was reckoning, as there will be when our Lord returns. There was reckoning. 2 Timothy says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead." We could say the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:9, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Paul's words. He's saying we labor, we work, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The first servant, with a sweet and cheerful boldness, acknowledged that with his 5 talents he had gained 5 more. The "well done, thou good and faithful servant" reminds us that small faithfulness has great reward. Paul talked about God's rewards here this morning, and I think there's a deception that is really prevalent in our day, and I think it's affected us. And I think that since when we do something that no one knows, we forget that God rewards. I want us to believe with our heart, there's not one thing we do that God will not reward us for. And sometimes I believe, not immediately, because it's a walk of faith, but I think we even receive some of that reward here on earth. Many times, I really do. But the first servant, we can just see with cheerful, sweet boldness, he's brought these other 5 out and said, "Hey!" You know, he had put some effort into it. I believe that's the message. He had gained 5 more. The "well done, thou good and faithful servant" reminds us that God rewards the faithful. Colossians, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Faithful service, no matter how small, will always be rewarded. Brothers and sisters, we have to believe that. We have to believe that the things that we do for God will be rewarded. If we don't believe that, we won't. We'll end up being the wicked servant that gets cast out. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of them that serve Him. This scripture here, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of cooled water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." The first 2 men got the same reward, but notice the exact notice that they both did the same thing. They were both faithful to their duties that God had called them to. It's a message that stands against the individual we face in our day. Everyone wants things their way. These 2 men, the one that had 5 talents and the one that had 2, they did everything the same, the way it looks to me in this parable. That one didn't decide, "Okay, I'm going to earn one." The one that had 2 didn't decide, "Okay, that brother has 5 talents and he gained another 5. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to gain 1 talent now. Then I'm going to do a little bit of whatever I want. And then later on, if it works out, I'm going to gain another talent." Would that have worked? I don't know. I don't think there's room for that in this parable. I really don't. But I want you to notice that both those servants were willing to be completely obedient and completely under the authority of their master. And they were willing to do their duty and do what God asked of them to every way they knew how. They were willing to do that. And it stands against the individualism that we face in our day. Everyone thinks that, okay, now, this doesn't matter, so I'll do it this way. And this doesn't matter, so I'll do it my way. And since the brother decided to not do this and this like I want, I'm just not going to do it. And we can just go on and on. There's another whole message there, brothers. We're affected by that individualism that we face every day. Everyone has their God and their Bible, and no one's going to tell them what to do or what to believe, because this is what the Bible says to me, and I'm my own God. And do you do whatever you want? I'll do whatever I want. No, there's a message right here in this parable that condemns that gospel. These 2 men, the faithful servants, they did things. I think they did both their duties the way God asked them to. And they did them cheerfully. Had the man with 1 talent been faithful, he no doubt would have received the same reward. The man with 1 talent serves us a serious warning today. It is very possible to neglect our gifts, brothers and sisters, and to bury them. It really is. It's easy to do. And there can be many different reasons this happens. There can be bitterness in our heart. There can be resentment. We can We can feel like, well, that brother's just getting all the honor. I'm tired of being a little toe, and so I'm just going to quit doing what my little toe responsibilities are. It's easy for us to refuse to develop our abilities and waste opportunities for service that are tragically gone forever. May we give some important and serious thought and consideration what God's will is for our lives today, and whether we have the right attitudes towards God, and whether we have the right attitudes about what God wants us to do, and whether we're willing to do those to the very best of our ability with the power of God to help us, to encourage us and to strengthen us and to propel us on in that way. Often those of us who feel our place in life is of little value or that our efforts are insufficient, worth very little, often we're the ones that do not serve the way we could, even in the small things in life. You know, it doesn't really matter if I come to prayer on Saturday morning or not. Sometimes I get to pray and sometimes I don't. I go to prayer. It doesn't really matter. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that attitude is in our midst. I really am. It doesn't matter if I make the midweek meeting or if I miss a Sunday service, or it doesn't matter. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Every one of you have gifts that have contributed to God using this body to affect thousands of other people. And it's the small things that are needed as much as any, more than any of the others. And we all need to be willing to do that. It's those of us that feel like our place in life has little value. My gift, my talent, if you do feel like you have one, maybe you feel like you have a half of one. It's those of us that feel that way that are in the biggest danger of experiencing what the wicked servant experienced when he was throughout where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, we can be lopsided. We can think more highly of ourselves than we should. But it's also important that we think rightly about the gifts that God has given us. It's easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that it takes everything we have to care for ourselves, me first. We have no time and energy left to serve anyone else. Brothers and sisters, there are so many things that we need to be doing for God's kingdom. We need to be taking care of ourselves. We need to be taking care of our families too. But do you notice the man that is all crippled up and he can't walk? When you walk into a store somewhere, do you notice him? And do you stop and say something to him? Do you stop and talk to him about God? We serve a loving God. I don't think he could love us anymore. I don't know how he could. I don't know how he could love us more than he does. And he desires, he's interested in us. He's interested in our well-being. He desires the very best for everyone. His commandments are not grievous, but they are for our own good. His word says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous." Deuteronomy, "To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Isaiah, "O thou that hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river." Okay, let me read it. I read that wrong. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. If you would have just listened to my commandments, God's saying, "Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." God is saying, if we had listened to his commandments, That would be our experience, that our righteousness would be as the waves of the sea and our peace would be as a river. And I'm not talking about it's not a creek or a stream, it's a river. He could at least have let the exchangers use it. There's much that could be said there. Notice that the steward returned the talent to his master. Who can be worse than the steward with one talent? My dear brothers and sisters, what would be worse than what the wicked servant did? He had the one talent and he gave it back to his master. What would be worse than that? Do any of you have any thoughts? Exactly. To take the one that you have and spend it so completely on yourself that you don't even have that one to give back to the master. The person that cannot return the one talent he was given because he used it selfishly. Is that me today? Is that you? Are you using your talents selfishly? Are you using them on yourself? Or are you serving others with them? All that God expects of us is that we do the best we can with the talents that He's given us. He's not asking us even to be miraculous. He's not asking us to do anything that is even remotely out of our capabilities. He's just asking us to seriously use the talents that He's given us the best we can for Him. There's a principle of truth throughout all of Scripture that the neglect of talents, whether they be few or many, results in losing them. We can't expect to keep those if we neglect them. And brothers and sisters, the urgency I feel in my heart, maybe you only have one talent, but the urgency I have in my heart, you cannot afford to lose that one. And it's easy for us, if we only have the one, to have the attitude that it's not going to make a difference anyway. Why even try? But brothers and sisters, we can't afford to lose that one. I know it's not popular. It's not a popular message in our day. But if we're not willing, we will be cast out of the kingdom of God. I believe that parable teaches that clearly here. The proper use of abilities and opportunities results in our efforts being multiplied. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, some of us here have buried our talent. We've looked around and we've decided that it's foolish to even try. That decision will cost you more than you can pay. I want this to be an encouraging message. Faithful service, no matter what it is, we do things. I know every one of you do things every day for God that you don't even remember that you do. I know you do. I just want to encourage you in it. Faithful service, no matter how insignificant it is, maybe it's just writing a letter. Maybe it's just helping someone out that can't walk. Maybe it's all these things. I don't know, but I just want to encourage you. And I want you to know that God rewards faithfulness. God rewards our faithfulness. Because we're in bodies of flesh. And the flesh grows weary and it gets tired of doing. It really does. There are so many things we can all be engaged in. Instead, we're content to let the enemy rob us blind because not everything is exactly the way I think it could be, and so we don't do what we can. If every member willing to do its part, the punishment of the unprofitable servant is a burden to me. I'm afraid Some of us have some of the same mindset, some of the